Phantom Screens, locally made blinds and retractable screens. Now you see them, now you don't. On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Oh, that's a terrific pass by Jonas.
Please welcome Port Adelaide captain, Tom Jonas.
Oh, good morning, Tom. Where are you? Have you already landed in Queensland?
Nah, still in sunny Norwood, mate.
Are you? What time do you go?
At home and then shoot off at about midday.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay. I thought it'd be an early start. Yeah. Hey, I met your brother the other day. He's a good fella. The one up in the hills making the wine.
Yeah, he didn't reply to my message. You said you rolled in there with a glass in hand and walked out with six more bottles.
I did.
That's standard. That'll get him through the night.
Nah, they make some nice wine, don't they?
They do, the Kerner boys. Definitely.
Yeah, Kerner,
check them out.
Very good. Hey, Tom, all of a sudden a couple of injuries. Is it a bit of a concern? I know you seem to have some good depth at the moment, but you are getting some injuries.
Yeah, not necessarily. I think it's something that every club's going to be faced with over this little period, and we go through it every year, so we just got to adjust. People get an opportunity, and we're confident that whoever comes in will play their role, and that's all that's required.
How did you review last week's performance, Tom? It would have been disappointing, the fact the last quarter sort of just didn't really fire a shot when the Saints ran over you a bit.
Yeah, that's it. We probably didn't capitalise in the third, and then we've been pretty good at hanging in there and winning the arm wrestle, but last week they were too good around the ball, and they were able to take their opportunity. So fortunately, we didn't have too long until the next game, so we had to put it behind us pretty quickly and start thinking about the D's.
I'm not making excuses because everyone has to go through this, and I thought St Kilda were fantastic, but were you tired? Were you flat in the last quarter? Because you've had those two trips away in a short time and early starts. Did it all get a bit too much in the end?
Nah, I certainly don't want to buy into that. I think, like I said, everyone's doing it. We've really enjoyed the away trips, and I think, with the shortened quarters, fatigue probably isn't an issue right now. Maybe in couple of games time with the really short turnarounds, but they were just a better side in the last quarter.
Yep. St Kilda had flown down from Queensland Monday.
I know that. But I think I was just trying to make the point, Port had done it a couple of times, then St Kilda have done it a couple of times. Yep. So what will St Kilda be like this week? I'm just wondering if it is starting to wear on teams.
Yeah,
but
certainly.
But everyone's in it. No, I get that.
All good. Melbourne tonight, what do you think their strengths are? What are you going to have to make sure you get on top of, Tommy?
Well, obviously, Gorney's a big factor, and then their contested ball unit. I think they're really strong around that, and they've added a bit of outside run. So we know the quality side sort of 18 months ago, and they didn't have their best year last year, but they're certainly capable of playing some really dangerous footy. And as we know, it all starts around the ball, and the contest is the key. So that's where it'll be won and lost.
Back in the bow and arrow days, Tommy, we had a thing called Beware of the Two-Page Spread.
Yeah, I know.
Blue collar Tom. No ball something Tom. There's a few quotes in there. The boys might get into you on the plane, I reckon, today.
I'm trying to pass last week's game off as that game. So this tonight, hopefully I'll be...
So the curse happened a week early, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a preeminent curse. So hopefully that does nothing tonight. I'm trying not to read those sort of things. And, it's never as good and never as bad as what people make out. So.
All right. Well, good luck. Hopefully it doesn't impact your performance tonight. Hopefully you can get back on the winner's board and stay up on top of the ladder.
Absolutely, boys. And before I go, I just want to give a quick shout out, if that's all right.
Yeah.
It's National Organ Donation Week, so jump onto Donate Life and sign up as an organ donor if you're not already. I know I am, and it's good to be able to help people while you're here and also while you're gone. So jump on if you're not already. All right.
Yeah, well done. Good on you,
Tom.
You
got a bit of a connection with that, Tommy, have you?
Yeah, just a local lad and his old man who's been working for the cause, and it's just great to support them when the opportunity comes around.
Yeah, good stuff. Mm. And Tom, just on yourself, mate, I reckon you're playing fantastic footy at the moment. You're going really well. So, mate, keep it up. You're leading as a captain. It's been good to see. So, well done.
Cheers, dear. It's much appreciated.
Good on you, mate. And
see you, Tommy.
Good luck tonight. Let's hope Port Adelaide can have a win. Tommy Jonas, and he joins us, Roo, all thanks to Phantom Screens. Call them today, Phantom Screens, for a quote on up to 12-metre-wide motorised outdoor blinds. Can you believe that? You can get them 12 metres wide these days. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Now, Roo, farmer wants a wife. We've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, and some people think it's the only reality TV show that really is
a little bit real.
Yeah.
Yep, because the blokes are genuinely, quite genuine.
They're out in the middle of nowhere. They're on their own.
quite often alone and they need a decent wife.
Yeah. Well, I worked with a girl years ago at Channel 7 who did this.
What?
Grew up in Melbourne, lived many, many years in Adelaide, so a real, real city girl.
Mm-hmm.
Married a farmer out in the middle of nowhere.
Swept off her feet.
Swept off her feet, and she's on the line. Emma Cox, good morning.
Good morning, Ruined Dits. How are you, boys?
I haven't seen you for years, Emma. Now tell me, whereabouts do you live now?
Okay, I'm now living in a small town called Boyup Brook, which is roughly 280 kilometres southeast of Perth, so just under 3 hours away from Perth.
Right, and what sort of property is it, and how big is the town? Tell us those sorts of things.
Okay, so we are on a sheep and cropping farm. We're considered a small farm, only about 2,000 acres. The town has about 700 residents, but about 1,500 in the Shire. So it's a decent-sized town.
How far out of that town are you?
Just over 20 kilometres.
Okay, so not really remote. How did you find
moving
from...
How did you meet the farmer?
Yeah, from Melbourne to Adelaide and then out bush.
Oh, look, it's a classic Bridget Jones story. Christmas Eve 2005, I was living in Melbourne, in the city, wrapping Christmas presents when I had a text from a friend in Perth that said, I have met the guy for you.
Wow, you got set up.
I know, crazy, hey? And she said, he's a farmer from Boyup Brook. I said, he's a what from where? Never been on a farm.
What from where?
Never met a farmer. Never been on a farm. Anyway, he said, can I ring you? We chatted. We ended up speaking every day for 6 weeks. Hadn't met at all. Sent a few photos.
Joking.
You know, strategically chosen photos.
Did he look all right on the photos?
Yeah,
obviously.
Well, you know, it'd be hard to tell. He had a massive fish in front of him in one of them and a cap on in one. And I'm like, oh, look, he knows her. He can't be too bad.
And then what happened after that?
Well, let's meet. He says, let's meet. And I'm like, okay, well, he'd never been on a plane either. So I'm
He'd never been on a plane.
So I'm like, I'll do the journey over. Came over, landed in Perth, had met a friend who was a flight attendant on the plane I used to go to school with. She's dosed me up with plenty of champagne. So I get off the plane, walk out, and there's this guy standing
there. G'day.
Within 5 days, I was in love.
Oh, really?
Oh, how good's that?
Crazy but true. Oh. Crazy but true, boys.
Now, Emma, let's move on. The girls that we see on Farmer Wants a Wife, and they've, like you, never been out, you know, sort of outback or anywhere like that. How hard is it for you to live on a farm? What did it take a lot of getting used to?
Look, it does. I guess, look, the biggest things are, you know, obviously there's no shops, there's no cafes. There's, you know, it's hard to find great coffee.
Yeah.
Mobile service. We don't have great mobile service in our house.
Mm.
So it's the little things like that, that, you know, you don't have your friends, you don't have your family. It can be really challenging, but if you meet the right guy, it can be fabulous.
And do you get involved in the farm work?
I do a little bit. I love doing sheep work. So we get out on the four-wheelers and muster sheep and move them around paddocks and all that sort of stuff. So I love doing that. I have driven tractors before, but it's not really my forte. I did have a tractor driving incident one day where we were baling some hay and I was towing a rake. You have to lift the arms of the rake when you're going through the paddock. Mm. I lifted the arms but didn't lift them properly and looked out the back and could see the rake tipping over.
Well.
On the two-way, Dave and said, oh, honey, I've tipped the rake. He goes, yeah, never do that on the two-way. Everyone in the district is telling you that.
So have you had any little kidlets?
Yes, I have a daughter, Lucy, who's nearly 13. So she's in year 7 this year and off to boarding school next year.
Oh,
that's another big thing on farms.
Yeah.
Boarding school.
You have people drop around to the farm for a bit of, you know.
Yeah, what's your social life?
We do. Do you know what? We are really lucky. We've got quite a lot of spare bedrooms. So we have lots of people coming over and staying. And, you know, a bit different to the city, you don't just come around for a dinner party. You come around for a dinner party and you can sometimes stay the weekend. So
yeah, sleepovers. Adult sleepovers are awesome.
Right.
Exactly.
Rue and I are coming to see you, all right? We're coming to our show from the farm.
You got any
dams?
You're
always welcome, boys. It's fabulous.
Any dams on your property?
Yeah, stacks of dams. Yeah, we've got about 15 dams.
A few yabbies in there?
Yeah, and some marin, which I'd never known before I came
here. Now you're talking.
Look out.
So Marin Yabbies and, lots of activities for lots of boys to do.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Emma, so good to talk to you. We just wanted to get a real-life picture of, what it's like for some of these girls, and you've painted the picture beautifully.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, boys.
Thanks,
great
Emma.
Chat.
Great
good
to
on
talk
Emma.
To you.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Righto, the boys are in. We've got Nails from Sales. How are the shares going, mate?
Oh, yeah, not great, Dits. Not great, but if I'm being honest. But...
Well, they've just rebounded 40% off their lows. And...
Yeah, mine haven't.
Righto. No tips for us then?
I've got one for you today. Okay. It's called KTIG, the code's KTG.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a welding device which speeds up welding.
Welding.
Hear me out. Something that usually takes 6 hours to weld, they can do it in 3 minutes. So reduces manufacturing costs and things like that. So yeah, put that one on your list.
Takes an hour and a half.
You know what I'm
going to
do? Cross it off the list.
So we got Sam, the sound man, who's not very sound. How are you, Sam?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. And Josh, who's from our production team. How are you, Josh?
G'day, guys.
Now I had my anniversary weekend away with the lucky Kate last weekend. And Roo, Kate does this from time to time in a quite intimate moment. It used to be 10, but she's narrowed it down now to 3. She said, "What are the 3 best things about being married to me?"
So, do you get this stuff without think time?
Just hit me with it. And of course, my answer was, "Oh, there's too many. I can't narrow it down." And then she goes,
three.
"We'll try." So they go, "Oh, okay." So then I've got to come up with, the 3 things, and then
be pretty easy.
It gets all a bit soppy and whatever.
Yeah.
So the soppiest things that you've had to do, Rooney, you've just admitted to me during that song that you have face masks, the beauty masks.
Yeah, not to make my head look bloody beautiful. It's because the kids like putting them on, and I like getting my face tickled. I like getting my back tickled and rubbed and massaged. Yeah, I don't do it to bloody look beautiful, because obviously that really wouldn't have worked.
Righto, now, soppiest thing that you are made to do?
We did this thing called the 5 love languages. Have you heard of that, boys?
No.
So basically, it's a quiz you do online, and it's basically the way that you express love to each other. So the 5 things are words of affirmation, quality time, giving gifts, acts of service, or physical touch. So
acts of service.
What are your physical touch?
Yeah, so that might be doing the dishes, Dits, or something along those lines. Right. So you do this quiz, and then it tells you, what the way that you like to be loved, I guess.
Right.
So, for example, Tor would often give me compliments, but I hate compliments.
Right.
So the fact that I hate them, I would rarely give them to Tor,
if that makes
sense.
Right.
So it's quite interesting, boys. I was pretty against it to start with, but did it and think it's helpful. So there you go.
In the good books at home.
What's it called again?
The 5 love languages. Tell Kate about that.
You take that home to Kate.
Righto. Sam.
You think you've had you're gone bipolar.
The soppiest thing you've had to do?
Well, I don't know if my wife has made me do anything soppy in particular, but the most romantic thing I probably did was I sung a song at our wedding for her. But it actually...
What, did you write the song?
No, it's a funny story because I'm disappointed I chose that song. Because it was Never Tear Us Apart by INXS. So I sung the song in 2012, and then 2 years later, it became the Port song.
Yes.
And I'm a Crows man.
Yes.
So you've started this. Wow.
Yeah. So that was
Never
soppy.
Tear Us Apart.
How did it go down at the
Did
wedding?
She have a scarf above her head waving it around?
No. Yeah, well, she's a sort of a Geelong fan. So, it went down well. I think she almost cried, actually.
Righto, Josh.
These boys are making me sound very bad. I think that's probably why I'm single. I think I'm the most unromantic person there is.
Well, you turned vegan.
That's moving on from that. But I think I'm pretty strategic about when I'm romantic. I guess it's you got to get something out of it in a way.
Get something out of it.
But it has to be a 2-way. Like I just wouldn't like. I reckon
you wouldn't
in the
just
moment,
do something for your missus.
Like when you're in the moment, you would. But I think like I'm not like a forced person that would just do it. Like just like randomly, just a random act of like romantic
goodwill
sort of thing. Yeah. Just not that
ice
sort of
cold,
person.
Ice cold.
He's got to get something out of it.
And you're still single, Josh?
I think that's a dead giveaway.
Now, Mel, the button pusher, has made her fella do something. What is it, Mel?
I thought this was just going to be a boys segment and this was just between us. I am not ambidextrous, I suppose, as most people are not. So I make Danny paint my right hand if I'm painting my nails because I can't do it left-handed. Oh,
that's disgraceful,
Mel. It's a really great job.
Hey, how come I've never heard of any other bloke having to do that?
Well, those girls probably go and get their nails done properly.
Oh, right.
I just do it at home and okay. Danny the poor sod has to paint old righty.
Good old Danny.
All right, thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Ruined. It's on Triple M. All thanks to Ream. Ask your plumber how to install a Ream and get some magnificent hot water. Ru, last night on the Rush Hour, good debate. Rory Sloane was the boys' special guest, and they were talking about salaries. Have a listen to this.
The public like it or hate it?
Yeah.
Well, I think they like it. They like it.
Yeah, if public like it, then, I mean, who cares? I mean,
you'd rather keep it private.
Yeah, well, I'm not too fast either way, really. I understand some. Everyone's different, so... I don't know, fan engagement might be good from it. Who knows?
So if the AFL players have to do it, why doesn't everyone else have to do it?
Well, I think as a player, I wouldn't have cared.
Organisation throw it out there with our wages?
Let's do it. I'm happy to do it.
Okay.
We'll find out what Roo's on.
I suppose the one thing, it's like, why do you have to know everyone's
business? I agree.
It's like, just let people be.
Yeah, yeah. I totally support what you're saying. Why do we have to know? Why does the football community have to know what Rory Sloane's on?
I think it's an amazing sell for the game, Jars. I think kids growing up can say, oh, yeah, look at Jeremy Cameron. He's earning that amount. I can earn that. I'm going to play footy instead of go and play another sport because there's a lot of money in it. I think there's a big upside.
Good argument, Byrne.
It should be private. It should be
like
private
that,
between club and player.
Okay, there we go. That was the discussion last night, Roo. Which side do you sit on?
Oh, I can see both sides of the story. For the sticky beaks, it'll be interesting. I think Bernie's argument there, you can do that anyway. Everyone knows there's a stack of money in footy because the salary cap's 14 million or whatever it is.
Yep.
So everyone knows there's people getting 500, 800, maybe a million, maybe a million and a half, or maybe even 200,000. Everyone knows there's big money in it. But I tell you what, there'll be a lot of scrutiny for individuals and there's already a lot of pressure on players and mental health's already a big issue. I reckon that it'd go up a notch. If they knew that you were on 420,000 dits and
not getting a kick
dits, how can you should pay that back? How do you blah blah blah? All that sort of stuff's going to happen.
Yeah,
but it does happen out there in society. I mean, we know what politicians are basically on. We know what a tennis player wins at a tournament. We know what a cricketer earns in Big Bash. We know what government people are on in jobs. There's a fair bit of it that's already out there, isn't there?
Yeah. Yep.
So, the, you know, teachers, police, they're all pretty well known, aren't they, what they get paid within 20,000 or 30,000. There's a fair bit of it.
I'm amazed at the number of people over my journey who've said to me, how much do you earn? And I look and go, what?
You never ask people what people do. Mate. I know you shouldn't.
And I don't go, well, what do you earn? Because they're... You know, they sort of, I don't know, they have these delusions of grandeur, I think, that, oh, you must be on huge money, the job you're in. And they're fascinated by it. And if it's in a front bar and they're a painter or I don't turn around and go, well, how much do you earn?
You almost don't even ask what you paid for a house, do you?
No. I think all of these things are private.
Yeah, I think definitely used to be, some people open, very open with everything, good or bad, and some people very quiet about their finances, which it's up to the individual, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think, It'd be good for the media for players' salaries to be out there. They'd have something to talk about, plenty more to talk about. I think the losers would be the footballers.
Good morning on this Thursday morning. Footy's on again tonight. We'll talk to Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas a little bit later on, Roo, about the big game. The Metros are going to be coming in as well. But in the meantime, what's going on with the masks?
Well, there's been a lot of people refusing to wear them and some people want to wear them and different types. There's been a lot of debates about masks going on in America. Let's have a listen to this.
This morning, as COVID cases mount across the country, the mask debate is intensifying.
People are very passionate on both sides of the great mask debate. The president is trying to have us cover the mask debate.
CVS, Target, and Walgreens are getting in on the mask debate.
The mask debate now taking center stage at local restaurants.
It's 9 minutes after six now, and there's new video of a raging mask debate. The mask debate in Georgia is getting ugly.
How many mask debates have you gotten into? Love to hear it.
The mask debate was taken to a whole nother level.
Bishop David Zubik tells Pittsburgh's Action News 4 he found himself in the middle of a mask debate.
That'd be awkward.
All these mask debates, even in restaurants. Lots of mask debates happening here in Australia at the moment. So interesting times we live in, unprecedented times.
Yes, that's right. I like the raging one. The raging mask debate. Righto. Hey, in a moment, Roo, a couple of AFL clubs are in a bit of trouble. We'll find out more. Ruined it's on Triple M. Triple M, Roo, a couple of clubs are in trouble.
Yeah, up to four clubs, I'm led to believe, for COVID breaches with the strict AFL rules that are happening all over Australia and especially in the hubs up in Queensland. A man who knows all about it. He's always sniffing out the news is Tom Brown. He joins us now. G'day, Brownie.
Good morning, Roo. Good morning, Dits. The hubs, I must say, are going very well, but the AFL is under pressure up here because the Queensland government shut the borders with New South Wales effective Saturday. They've got some COVID now in Brisbane for the first time in a couple of months. And today, the AFL's got 400 family members arriving here on the Gold Coast to join the hubs and reunite with the players, which is a good story in itself in 14 days' time. But you mentioned the clubs. I reported yesterday that Carlton, North Melbourne and Richmond had some transgressions, which ordinarily would be pretty low level. I mean, we're talking about going to a beauty salon, talking about the grandparents taking some grandkids out to Dreamworld. And like they're pretty low level discretions. In North's case, I think they gave some tickets to the family to go to the game up in Brisbane, which at one point I think might have been provisionally approved by the AFL. But just optics-wise, I know Gil likes to use that word, optics, Gil McLaughlin. Optics-wise, it's so important now that none of these families transgress. Gil warned the clubs on Monday. He warned the football manager again on Tuesday that any transgression would be met with huge fines that would eat into the football department spend. The AFL just can't afford, during this critical 20-day festival of footy, to have any future transgressions. But I think that Carlton and Richmond will cop a fine, part of which will be suspended today or tomorrow. The AFL will announce that.
Yep, since they've just got to do everything they can, but it's tough for the grandparents and people like that to make little mistakes like that. But that's the world we're living in
so
at the moment.
Can I just rewind? One of the players' wives or girlfriends went to a beauty salon. Is that right?
Yeah, my understanding is it might have been a day spa, and that's my understanding. And I think that that will have to be met with a fine because it's obviously outside the rules. Just to explain, the partners, even after they've been in isolation, have to comply with what the players can do, which is essentially only really go out for essential services. So in an ordinary situation, you sort of feel for these partners. They've obviously just gone out and got their nails done or something. It's not really a big deal. But in the context of the footy, the AFL community having a license just to play in Queensland, and these families are only here to support the players, they've got to comply with these really strict protocols, which the AFL signed up for when they did the agreement with the Queensland government.
Yeah, but Tom, isn't the issue that there's one of the wags out there saying, oh, bugger, I'm not sticking to the rules?
Or she didn't realise.
Oh, yeah, you don't reckon they've been told enough?
I don't know.
Ollie Wan still did a thing, and he's a captain. Like, it happens. You just forget.
I think we've sort of got to be a bit careful in these circumstances, sort of outing these people or stuff like that. I mean, we don't know all the facts. And, I'm all one for a big story, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I don't know if there was any ill intention here, and I don't know what rules were given to the partners.
Yeah, it's pretty strict breaches. Now, the two Sydney clubs have to go up there. So how many clubs are going to be in Queensland?
Well, there'll be 10 Victorian clubs when Geelong and Collingwood eventually get here. Melbourne will spend a week at one point in Adelaide now because their game has been rescheduled from Blundstone with North back to Adelaide. And then Sydney and the Giants will come up today. They were literally packing their clubs up and packing their bags last night. They had some notice on this, Roo, but you of everyone knows that when it comes to the crunch, when you actually get told you've got to clear out by tomorrow, there's just so much logistical activity that goes along with that.
For a club, it's massive.
Massive. So Sydney and the Giants will hit the road. Buddy's got a young barber. You know, it causes all sorts of personal issues for the players. He had a baby just a couple of months ago with Jacinta. There's other players. I think Josh Kennedy's got a young family. So there's all these considerations that suddenly come confronting and facing home as soon as these things happen. But Sydney and the Giants will fly out this afternoon to Queensland. They've got to go to Perth, I think, Sydney, and then they'll have to reassess where their hub will be. But they won't be able to fly in and fly out because of this border closure. But they didn't know it was coming, but it's come quickly.
I was told that when the Collingwood players flew out, they were all very, very excited because they'd never been on a plane before.
Well, you reckon they just play at the MCG bit?
Yeah, that's what I'm alluding to.
Yeah, that's like Hawthorn. They've never played. They never played at Cadinia Park.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting. I mean, there has been some weird requests to the AFL this week that I've requested.
Who wanted the puppy? Tom, tell me.
I honestly don't know who wanted
you
the puppy.
Do so. You know everything.
I have requested another family, requested a nanny, I think.
And a nanny? Oh, come on, look after your own kids.
A club had made some inquiries on use of a private jet at one stage.
Gil's
trying to save the competition. He's at his office there in Melbourne getting all these emails and requests.
They're not Johnny Depp, for crying out loud.
Not Pistol and Boo. And you can imagine by Thursday, I think poor Gil was pretty irate. Like, he was trying to, the competition was hanging by a thread. He had all these requests. And he said to the general manager before, no more weird requests. This is already costing them about $4 million a week. That was a line in the sand moment.
All right. Good on you, Tom. Thanks for that update. So, some funny shenanigans going on with our players' families up there on the Gold Coast.
And then you've got two 19-year-olds that are taking the virus to Queensland, where you've got all the clubs. So, they haven't finished the season yet.
No, they haven't. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, former comedian known as Limo, who we spoke to for the last time the other day. He's done the same in Melbourne, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's been talking with Kennedy and Malloy, and he was saying his farewells on the afternoon show on Triple M because he's going to the dark side.
Yep.
Apparently we got somehow brought into the conversation.
Okay.
And it's with SAFM in Adelaide doing their breakfast show, which is... Owned by the same company, but it's a competing station. So,
it is a competing station.
You're competing with Roo and Ditz.
Correct.
Haven't you been on their show?
Oh, hang on.
Well, I was on their show every week for 2.5 years.
Have you broken it to them? Or are they hearing this for the first time? What's happening?
Safe to say they were less than happy. At least on air they were less than happy. Off air they were fine.
I love Ditz. Don't care for Roo.
Can
I say this?
Hang on. You still owe him money on the sport.
They will crush you like an ant. And you get... He's like the Don over there. Roo. They'll have your legs broken.
Roo owns Adelaide. I'm too scared to go to town.
We congratulate you, Limo.
Thank you, Jane. I believe Mick's still got a bar tab at the Alma. Are you still banned, actually, from the Alma?
He is still banned. Well.
I am banned from the Alma. Last time I was there, he sicked a bikey onto me.
He did.
What's the hotel he got into trouble with the Port Adelaide players?
Oh, down at Henley Beach, the Ramsgate.
The Ramsgate. If you invite you to the Ramsgate, do not go.
Bit of banter with the boys in the afternoon, but we'll never mention Limo's name ever again.
No.
That's it.
Gone.
He's dead.
Ruined it on Triple M. Roo, tell us about Generation Broke.
Generation Broke is a generation of kids who are not good at saving, they're not good at making money, and they're good at sort of staying at home and living with their parents. And there is a lot of kids now that are staying at home longer, well into their 20s, they say, Ditz, that it's quite standard, in fact, that is happening out there where they can save... like a couple hundred bucks a week on rent and more on groceries and more on costs, you know, your utilities and everything. And they say that it's almost half of people in their 20s are now living with their parents. It's unbelievable.
Is it their fault, though, or is it just society? Like, look at the cost of buying your first home these days. Now, I know there are these great...
You don't have to buy it, you can rent.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's expensive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's... If it's the expensive part that's happening, or whether it's they're going to uni more, or whether it's harder to get a job, whether it's a combination of all of that,
I do remember months ago talking to the Grumpies, and you remember Johnny Reed said that when he first got married, they had a card table for their dining room table for a long time and things like that. He said, you got through on nothing. Whereas I guess what you're alluding to is that our kids now actually buy the best of everything, don't they?
Yeah, they do. 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Thanks. I can't share a bathroom with you other guys. Anyway, what they're saying, Ditz, is there's a generation of people that are not going to have money, and there could be a generation skipped in terms of the inheritance that may be left if you're lucky enough to receive an inheritance. And they're saying that it could skip a generation because parents or people are living longer for starters. Mm. So traditionally they're not giving their inheritance until their kids are middle-aged, which they need it more when they're trying to buy a house or trying to raise their kids.
Yep.
They're saying that they could actually skip a generation and go straight to the grandkids. You'd be filthy if you're in line for a bit of cash. Absolutely filthy. I know one person in this Triple M building that just would not be able to cope with it.
Right.
It's fair to say.
Uh-huh.
And
No names?
No. He does come on the show every now and then. Referred to as our boss, I think. You've called him before. But anyway, you would be filthy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess if you were expecting it, yeah. But I don't know. Do you go through life maybe not expecting too much? And then you're not disappointed, eh? I don't know.
No, that's certainly the way to go. But it does bring up about wheels and things and how tricky they are. How often do you hear of stories about wheels after people die and it's just an absolute schmozzle and it rips the families to bits?
Mm, I know.
I've seen it, heard it, felt it, been involved in it through a couple of different instances. And you don't think about this happening when your mate or your brother or your uncle or whatever, or you know, auntie or grandparents die.
Mm.
But then
we're all close. We'll never argue about money.
2 weeks or a month later, it just starts cranking up.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like a volcano going off and the family can just split and in some cases never be the same or never even speak.
Have you discussed your will or your parents' will with them?
No.
So you haven't?
No.
Never raised it?
No, not their will.
No?
No.
So you don't know. So therefore, you one day when they're no longer around, and I don't mean to talk about that, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I've never.
So you'll just cop what comes?
Yeah, absolutely. We're tight family anyway, so I don't think, it's easy for me to say. I don't think there'll be an issue, but I don't think there'll be an issue there. But, I've seen it in other places, and I've heard of other families, and it's just shocking what happens afterwards. Some people are shockers.
See, I've discussed my will with my kids. They're only in their 20s, but I've told them what will happen.
Yeah, I can understand that but I wouldn't. I'm not going to have the discussion with my kids.
No, not yet. But I think there comes a day though where I do want to prepare them so that there are no arguments or there's no trouble
later. No, I think it's good to talk about it. 133353. We've got a couple of Crows tickets to give away at the game where they'll take on Melbourne next Wednesday night at Adelaide Oval. Tell us about some bad situations with wheels, where it's blown up or what's happened, or if you know of any family issues where it's just divided the family, or you've got a shocker there that's just flown in that's had nothing to do with the family and thinks all of a sudden they're in line for a bit of the inheritance.
What about when mum or dad remarry, right? This happens a lot. And they've only been with that person 3 years.
Oh, yes.
And then they pass away and everything gets left to them. Do you reckon that causes a bit of
I think we all know someone where that has happened and you start doubting their real value to the family or reason why they're there or reason why they're all of a sudden so nice to that dying relative.
Yeah.
133353, as I said, Crows v Melbourne tickets at Adelaide Oval next Wednesday. Up for grabs, 133353. We're talking about dodgy wheels or where you've been stitched up or where you've had a gold digger just fly in and try and get some nuggets. Let's go to Craigmore. G'day, Graham.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Graham. Tell us your story.
My grandmother, when she passed away, it's quite a long time ago, nobody really bothered about the wheel too much.
Right.
It was like a pack of vultures coming in and everybody just took what they wanted. And in the house, I remember there were lots of old antique pieces, furniture and so on. And I know that in her chest of drawers, this is going back before dollars and cents, there was something like about £1,000. And I don't know what that would equate to now in dollars, but be a lot of money. And that just disappeared.
And these are all family members that sort of hadn't had too much to do with your grandmother.
I don't know. Some of them were actually children and some were in-laws. Yeah, absolutely. Could not care less, mate. They just walked in like they owned the place and see you later. That's it.
Well, that's a shame, Graham. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Julia.
Hi, Rude. Number one fan. Big Crow fan. Yeah, how are you guys?
Good, Julia.
I have a millionaire gay uncle. He worked for the tax department. He collected statues that he'd got from England. They were like bird statues.
Mm.
He had about 12 of them. They're really expensive. And he left them to all the girls in the family. But his three bitty sisters decided that none of us were getting them and they were having them. So when I was 9 months pregnant, me and my husband went to the house the deceased estate. We broke in and I stole all the statues. I delivered them to all the people that should have got one. They all got one on their front doorstep by the following morning. So
you took matters into your own hands, Julia.
Absolutely. All the biddies died and never knew what happened to them. They thought there was a break-in and that a robber had stolen all those things.
So no one had ever found out?
No one ever found out, but I did tell the old little biddy Nana when she died on her deathbed.
Right. Old biddy Nana.
Old biddy Nana. Everyone was pretty wrapped.
Right. Good on you, Julia. Sometimes you got to take a
look. What did you say at the start? I lost a gay...
Gay uncle who was a millionaire.
Right.
He collected all of these.
Gay uncle who was a millionaire. Yep, just digesting that. Mm. 133353, give us a buzz if you've got any dodgy Will stories.
If you've got any gay uncles that are millionaires, whatever, give us a ring. 133353. Bill from West Lakes, Roo, says, horrible older sister ripped me off. My mum was old and the devil took her to a lawyer and changed the will without my knowledge. I wasn't even recognised with any existence at all. And the day my mum died, the devil took all the money out the bank and she signed a stat deck saying there is nobody else. He says her day will come. There you go.
Yep, I believe in fate too. Let's go to Prospect. G'day, George.
How you going, guys? All right?
You got a bad story for us, George?
For my wife, her mother died when she was 52. Right. And long story short, her grandmother, who they used to name Naughty Nana, the three daughters were obviously entitled to her mother's share of the estate. So instead of writing in the will that they would get an equal share of that estate with her auntie and uncle, her Naughty Nana actually wrote the will giving them each $3,000 so that they couldn't actually contest the will and also refused to actually mention her own daughter's name in the will. So after that, there was a lot of rift within the family because their own brother and sister wouldn't actually mention or acknowledge that her mother was part of the family. So since then, no one's talked. So,
Yep. There's stories like that all the time, how just a little bit of cash can just split the family that have been reasonably... Well,
close, tight.
Close, yeah. Just doesn't work. Let's go to North Adelaide. Ruby, you got a story?
Good morning, boys. But before I start, this year doesn't count for the Crows, and that's why poor Rory's injured. He's giving all the young kids a go. And that's what my husband said.
What was that?
Next year, the real action starts.
Oh, right. Yeah. This year doesn't count. Yeah, gotcha.
It doesn't count. Sorry. Okay. It's out there for the young ones. So go. And I hope Rory's feeling better.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Now, this is quite a bit of a sad story. Someone in the family passed away quite suddenly, and the so-called executor of the estate refused to allow the mother of that person to say goodbye to them.
The mother of that person who died, right? Yep.
Anyway, it got to the stage where we were ringing the funeral home. We were texting them for 2 weeks before the funeral. They refused to answer any of our questions or any of our calls. Anyway, at the end, at the day before the funeral, we had to actually go to a lawyer and get them to send a letter to the funeral home, which the lawyer did, but the funeral home ignored it. Then on the day of the funeral, it was literally like they had the whole area like barred off, so you know people couldn't even go in and if they wanted to. Anyway, long story short, it was absolutely devastating. So the funeral went ahead. And I was beside myself because I'll do anything for my mother.
Yep.
Anyway, so then I went and I saw the... I went to the actual cemetery on Saturday morning. I was beside myself, spoke to the groundspeople. They said, come in Monday morning, speak to the CEO and see what can happen. Anyway, that the week of the funeral, there were a lot of deaths in Adelaide. It was very hot. So normally after a cremation, that's when the body is cremated. However, I rocked up on Monday morning, spoke to the CEO. He apologised within his tracksuit. I said, I don't care what you're wearing, as long as you're wearing clothes. I really want you to try and fix this for my mother. Anyway, he said, just hold on a moment. He got his secretary to go out and check whether the person was still intact. The person had not been cremated. He said, okay, I'm going to give you till 3:00. In the meantime, I'm going to try and contact the funeral home and see whether we can get permission for the mother to see the deceased person. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what happened was they tried their extreme best, but it didn't happen. And I actually said to the funeral the CEO of the cemetery, I said to him, I will give up everything I own, and I do have a little bit of stuff. Mm. except for the clothes I'm wearing, if you can get my mother to see the deceased person.
Right. That was
some of the terrible things that that happened. Yeah,
that was a tough story.
Yeah, it was indeed.
Let's give the Crows tickets to Julia from Mount Barker. Julia, you can go and watch the Crows take on Melbourne next Wednesday
night. Hang on, who broke into the home and stole the statues?
Yes, it's all right. She's a big Crow supporter and a theft.
Triple M Roo last night on the front bar. My favourite footy
show. Oh, it's a great show.
Yeah, it is a good show.
What were they talking about last night?
About you.
What?
I actually get frustrated. The comparisons come up, who's better out of Voss, Hurd and Buckley? And I go, well, it doesn't matter because Harvey's better than all of them. So,
there you go.
I mean, that is biased, but if he's not in that bracket, everyone's kidding themselves.
Of course he should be. Wow. We've got a segment on the show we love.
Throw Aussie Rusciutto in there too, I reckon. Yeah.
Who did you just throw in at the end?
Rusciutto. Mate, don't do this again. Rusciutto should be in that conversation.
Mate, the classic definition of someone who held on too long. That's what Ozzy said to me off air.
You know they're only joking.
The Orchid.
They're only kidding.
The Orchid.
Yeah, that's right. What was his nickname? Tell us again.
The Orchid.
Yeah.
Takes perfect conditions for him to flourish.
That's right. Hey, a little traffic update for you. This is a busy part of town. Lower North East Road going towards the hills is blocked outside Campbelltown Shopping Centre due to an accident. The traffic is backed up past the hospital. So we'll hear more about that in our traffic report. Roo and Ditts on Triple M.
Hey, Ditts, I was very, very annoyed when I heard this story this morning about what's happening in Queensland with two 19-year-olds who have threatened to create a second wave in Queensland, really. Queensland hasn't had a positive case for 46 days.
Yep.
Like they've been not dissimilar to us. They've been in a good position, so good that, you know, we've got 10 or 12 football sides up there trying to keep the AFL going.
Yep.
But a whole economy up there in Queensland, massive tourist area, and two 19-year-olds have put this whole thing at risk by flying to Melbourne via Sydney, going to restaurants, going everywhere, and then coming back to Queensland, lying to authorities, and have brought the virus back from Victoria into Queensland. It's now they've got Queensland authorities trying to contract trace through all the different places that they've been to, including airports, restaurants, schools. I mean, one of these girls is a cleaner. She's gone back to a private school, worked there for 3 days. She's infected her sister. The list goes on and on and on. The amount of work it's going to require to make sure that we haven't got clusters in any of these places.
So the number of people she's come in contact with in those days would be huge.
It's huge.
And then they are now in contact with other people and on it goes.
It'll be hard to think that there's not going to be some sort of outbreak as a result of these two 19-year-olds that have just been totally selfish and ignorant to how dangerous this virus is. It beggars belief that they do it. I mean, their parents must be disgusted and very, very annoyed about it, you would think. And, yeah, this is threatening to, you know, make a big issue in Queensland, you would have thought.
All right, let's hear from the Queensland Chief Health Officer.
Two young women returned from Melbourne, which we know is an absolute hotspot with a lot of cases, returned from Melbourne on the 21st of July via Sydney and have now tested positive. And as a result of that, a lot of people are going to be inconvenienced. And I do apologise to those people for what is now going to have to occur. But we know if we act really fast now, we can stop this spreading further and cause even more inconvenience to a lot of people. So there are going to be shopping centres, a school, restaurants, they're all going to be closed now for at least 48 hours while we arrange a deep clean of those facilities and contact trace people who attended.
Dr. Jeanette Young there, Queensland Health Officer. So these two young girls, I hope they're proud of what they've done. Now, Roo, we had in 1 week, 3 days in a row, Victorians sneaking in. And as you know, they were apprehended, they were arrested, but sent back to the border and sent packing. Now, we've got to be doing more, surely.
Well, we've changed the rules here where they can get up to $20,000 fine and 2 years jail. I mean, these girls actually need to be put in jail, I think. And I'm not in one for just throwing people in jail for anything, but this could shut a state down. This could shut, you know, it could easily kill people. You know, New South Wales on a knife edge. Victoria's out of control.
Yep.
Queensland could easily get clusters here. Mm. You know, they were on a plane, for God's sake. There's just so many things that could happen with it. I think we need to send a message across the whole of Australia that if you lie to authorities,
yep,
and blatantly do the wrong thing, you will serve some time in the slammer.
Mm. They for just putting have our to learn. Country at risk.
Well, it's people's lives. What value do you place on people's lives? They're lying to authorities as well, let alone the financial cost of what's going on.
So do you give them a month, 6 months, a year, two
well,
years?
Well, no, I think, you know, might only need to be a week or 2 weeks in a slammer. Yep, it'll just scare the hell out of them.
Yep.
And it'd be, it's hard not, you know, you don't want to overplay it, but this could stuff a whole state up. Mm. We know what Melbourne people are going through. We spoke to Seb Costello. We know what Alice is going through. And there's heaps of people like that. They've had people die in Victoria. They're saying 70 people could die in Victoria this week.
Mm.
That could be Queensland in a month.
All right, what do you think? Do you agree with Roo? 133353. Give us a call. Roo and Dits on Triple M. 133353.
What a goal!
Roo and Dits overnight sports.
Oh, Richmond had a big win last night by 41 points over the Bulldogs at Metricon Stadium, and Dusty Martin was back to his best.
Little handball is okay. Back to Dusty. He centres the ball, or does he have a crack? Oh, he has a crack, and why wouldn't you? Dustin Martin's kicked his third with an absolute belter. And look at the crowd go nuts. Oh, he's good to watch, isn't he? Dusty's done it again. Why would you centre the ball when you can do that? That's just ridiculous.
You know that goal Akamanis kicked down at Geelong one day? He's running towards the boundary and he did a drop punt that sort of bent back through. It was like that. It was an unbelievable goal. He was on fire. Looked like he was in second gear, Dusty Martin. And, gee, they look like a good side when he's playing like that. They smashed the Bulldogs, who were in the top four prior to that, and sent a warning that maybe the Tigers aren't over and done with just yet. I think they're up to third on the ladder now, and they were very dominant last night.
All right, Port Adelaide in action tonight. They play Melbourne at the Gabba, and Port Adelaide need to bounce back after the loss to St Kilda. So Jared Leanett comes back in. So does Tommy Rockliffe out of Todd Marshall, and Riley Bonner's been dropped. Let's hear from the coach, Ken Hinckley.
Been a pretty high performer at the level. He was out of form. Hopefully he's had a little bit of time off. He's ready to go again.
He brings a calmness to our group, particularly around the stoppage and around those contested situations.
Ken and Ollie Wines there talking about Tom Rockliffe. How are they going against Melbourne, Ruth?
I reckon it's a 50-50 game. I think Melbourne pushed Brisbane pretty hard last week in a pretty good performance. And South Australian footy fans, a young lad, Tom Sparrow, who's a boy from Adelaide, he makes plays for Melbourne tonight. So it'll be a good game at the Gabba.
Yep, okay. They've dumped Neville Jetta, which is a surprise, because he's been solid for a long time.
Yeah.
Very good defender. Tom McDonald comes back in, and as you said, Tom Sparrow. Geelong have been successful in overturning Tom Hawkins' one-match ban for striking. This doesn't happen too often. Clubs don't usually win at the tribunal.
Nah, it wasn't a very hard hit. He's got a bad history with raising his elbow and doing silly things, Tommy, but there wasn't much in that one.
All right, couple of changes to the fixture. This is good news for us here that North Melbourne and Melbourne, their game has been moved from Hobart to the Adelaide Oval, so that's good. We get another game here.
I don't think it's that good, Dits, because I have to do that game. It starts at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Okay.
I want to be on the couch.
You're normally at church, aren't you? Yeah.
That's good for Adelaide, and it'll be interesting to see how many people go to that game.
Yep. Yeah.
Would you get 5,000 there?
North Melbourne and Melbourne.
Not,
you might.
Not big drawing clubs, are they?
I'll go for 2,000. We'll wait and see.
Two?
Yep.
Sunday night, it's a terrible time.
The D's will play the Crows at the Oval in round 10, and they'll stay in Adelaide for the 4 days leading up to that clash with the Kangaroos as well.
So we're going to go Monday night in Adelaide,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday night in Adelaide,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunday night in Adelaide.
Yep, good. The other change, Port Adelaide's game against the Cats in round 12 has been moved from the Gabba to Metricon, just to give the Gabba a bit of a rest.
Yeah, the deck's up there. They've had a stack of rain on the East Coast. And I said to the guys at Fox yesterday, Adelaide Oval is absolutely perfect at the moment. Play as many games here as you want.
Yeah, okay. That's our look at sport. And just a reminder, Port Adelaide captain Tom Jonas will join us a little bit later on to talk about that game against Melbourne tonight. Ruined, it's on Triple M. 8:14, Roo's asking the question about these two girls in Queensland who have really put the whole state at risk. We've got some text messages here, Roo, on 0488851047. One says deport them. One says, yep, jail them.
Deport them.
Yeah. Another one here says, so if someone dies because of someone's negligence with COVID, are they going to get charged with murder or maybe manslaughter? Because this person is saying that they should. What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't know how far you can stretch it, but there's plenty of ramifications of what they've done. I mean, we were speaking about 10-year-old kids getting locked up for potentially stealing cars and doing stuff like that, and maybe killing one person. This could kill heaps of people.
Yep.
Let's go to the Adelaide Hills. G'day, Troy.
How are you, Roo? Good.
What do you think about this one? It's just frustrating, isn't it? I mean, we don't want it here in Adelaide. We've already been through enough grief financially and with jobs and everything, and these people are threatening the whole state of Queensland.
Yeah, you're right there, Roo, and they are. Mate, they don't understand. But from what I heard on the TV this morning from Carl, is saying that they stopped in Sydney. They didn't leave the airport. They believe that they stole stuff from the airport. So it's a criminal investigation anyway.
Wow.
If they do get locked up, they should go back to Sydney and be locked up in Sydney until Queensland is free.
Yeah, well,
of the COVID that they've taken in there.
Yep, we'll wait and see what does happen, Troy. Let's go to Port Turton. G'day, Debbie. Good, Deb. What do you think should happen to these two?
I think they should actually pay for the cleanup that's going to cost all of the places that they've been.
Yeah, they'd have to win cross lotto, I would have thought, from the amount of contract tracing, cleaning that's going to happen in schools and airports and aeroplanes and everywhere.
Lance in Two Wells says, yep, throw them in jail. Adam from Modbury Heights says, are there any grounds for suing these girls for loss of income if things close down?
They're cleaners. They're not going to have any money.
Let's
have an anonymous caller. Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good.
What would you like to say?
Look, I think we should do what Queensland does, name and shame these people.
Yeah.
I think it's despicable. They went to Melbourne and stole. They went back to Sydney. They lied about their identity. They got on that plane and went to Brisbane. They're living in an area where I have family that are at high risk.
Yep.
If these people die, these girls should be deported. And I'm really strong about that.
Yep.
They come to a great country. I'm a foreigner. I came here. I live by the rules.
Yep, fair enough.
They have to set an example.
So where are they from, these girls, Anonymous?
I'm not prepared to say that, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, didn't know it was a secret. Their names are online and where they're from and everything, so that's okay if you don't want it. Let's go to Lewiston. G'day, Jason.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, Jase. What do you think should happen?
Oh, look, you know, I think this is not just this, but all facets. I think the government needs to set minimum sentences instead of maximums. So I think when those three lads got done and they got $3,300 fines each, there was a maximum sentence of $20,000. So I think in that case, the minimum should be 10,000 and, you know, a minimum of 30 days in jail. Because the cops can do all they want. The government are doing a great job, I think. But then you've got a judge who slaps them on the wrist and gives them a high five on the way out.
It's not a bad point, actually. We never hear about minimums, do we? We're always told, it's a maximum of such and such. You
very rarely get the maximum, though, don't
they? No, that's right. So not a bad point, Jason.
It's big stuff. It's really frustrating, this, Ditz. We've just got to do everything we can to keep it out of this state and everywhere where it's clean at the moment. But you know the people with the most infected age ranges, don't you? 20 to 29-year-olds.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
By a fair bit, too. So the younger people are not taking this seriously. They're looking at their own self and thinking, well, it's not going to hurt me anyway if I get it. But we've seen already 25% of people in Victoria in ICU are under 50. So young people can get it and they can die and you can kill your grandparents as well. So don't forget that.
All right. On the text line, 0488851047, this one says, pull your head out of your backside. Lock them up. What, for a political virus with a 1% 20% death rate.
Oh, those people were nuts.
Yep. And then everyone else were saying, totally agree with the murder manslaughter charges for these two girls. Mick from St. Clair, 100% Roo. These types of selfish people need to be taught a lesson. Fiona from Greenwith, same. They should be sent to jail. So, yep, a lot of people saying jail.
What is going on with these people that call it a political virus?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is going through their heads?
I know. Do people actually think that this does not exist? Well, have a look at, just turn the TV on and have a look at America and then come back to us and tell us whether this exists or not and whether it's a political stunt.
Crazy stuff. Let's get the metros on and have a laugh.